Welcome to a special series featuring American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker, Pastor Richard O'Phill. This is part two, and our topic today is How to Overcome Impure Thoughts. Frankly speaking, here is Pastor Richard O'Phill.
Do you think that Jesus wants us to have fun? Yes? Uh-huh. Now, do you think Jesus wants us to be happy? Is it possible to have happy? Yes, it is. So which is more important, being happy or having fun? Happy. If you had to choose between being happy or having fun, which one would you take? Now, does Jesus want us to have joy? Yes. Is it possible to have fun without having joy? If you had to choose between having joy or having fun, which one would you take? Are we together on this? Will you agree? The expression that we use as young people is, I want to have fun. But that can be a confusing thing, because people who are having fun are not necessarily happy. And people who are not having fun are not necessarily having joy. And you tell me this morning that you would rather be happy than have fun. You would rather have joy than have fun. You see, this word fun has been mixed up with us. In fact, many times, now I don't say all the time, but many times when young people are having fun, they're not doing what's right. Many times fun, we know, is doing us harm. Now, I think that if we'll put happiness first and joy first, then we can have fun. Everything will be in balance. But the person who says he wants to have fun first is in trouble. Now, do you agree with me that Jesus wants us to be happy? He wants us to be joyful. And being happy and joyful, then, we will have fun. Wait. Now, what do you think the devil wants for your life? What does he want for you? Wants you to be happy? No. Does he want you to have fun? Yes. Does he want you to have joy? No. If we could understand this and get this in our minds, we would solve a lot of our problems. Now, we as Christian young people are looking forward to going where someday? Where? To heaven. But heaven is a long way off. Any of you ever been there? I haven't been there either. Now, any of you ever been to Seoul? You haven't been there either. Do you believe Seoul is there? Seoul, South Korea, do you believe it's there? Sure you believe it's there. In other words, you don't have to have been there to believe it's there, right? See, I believe heaven's there. I've never been there. I've been to Seoul, but I haven't been to heaven. But I believe it's there. You don't have to go to a place to know it's there. Well, anyway, so someday we're going to go to heaven. Where are we going to be in the meantime? Where? Here, obviously. We're not going to be out in the space someplace. We're going to be here. Now, Jesus wants us to be happy, and what have we said the other word is? Joyful. Now, does he want us to be happy and joyful when we get to heaven? Oh, now, yes, you're getting ahead of me. He wants us to be happy and joyful when we get to heaven, right? Do we have to wait till we get to heaven to be happy? So doesn't it make sense to you then that joy and happiness is for us now? Now, what are you talking about? Are you trying to blow my mind or drive me crazy here so early in the morning? No. This is important. It's important that we understand this, that you should believe that Jesus wants you to be happy and to have a happy life here, and that Satan wants you to be sad and to ruin your life here. Now, just get this clear in your head. Satan is trying to not only keep you out of heaven, but make you unhappy here, then you will know how to handle things. If you don't understand that, if you think that happiness is only for heaven and not for here, then you're going to say, hey, I'm going to have some fun. So what am I saying is this. That, now listen to me. Are any of you in high school here? Raise your hands. Are you married? No, you're not married. You say that's a crazy question. But someday, it could be, if you're still here, if Jesus hasn't come yet, and for some of you, you may be 18 years old, 19 years old, marriage may not be too far in the distance, you're going to get married. Now, what Satan does, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, he is trying to break up homes. Have you noticed? Has he been somewhat successful? What he hates to see is happiness and love. He'll do anything to keep you from... Well, he does want you to love someone, though, by the way. You know who? Yourself. He says, if you'll just love yourself, that's all I care. But do you like to be around a person who loves himself? Oh, he's so selfish. He wants only to look out for number one. He's only thinking of me. But if you're around a person who's loving and sharing, that brings happiness. Now, the home is the place where this can happen. Because in that union of love between the mother and the father, the happiness and the joy that comes out of there is just a little bit of heaven. And then the children come along and it can be really sweet. So Satan sees that and he says, I'll bust that up. Because what he wants us to do is to drive us into unhappiness and into sadness. Now, one of the ways, and this is what I'm going to be talking to you about today, one of the ways he gets at us, am I amongst friends here today? Are we friends? Can I talk to you pretty straight? Now, I might be a little embarrassed, but you won't be embarrassed, right? I'm going to talk about how to overcome impure thoughts. Now, let me tell you this. Of all the sins that man commits, that's the most difficult one to deal with, it's the problem of immorality. The Apostle Paul says that of all the sins that we commit, immorality is the only one that's in us. It comes from us. It's not outside there somewhere. You know, it's not a bottle of beer someplace. The bottle of beer is out there. But this matter of sexual desire is in here. So you can run away from a pack of cigarettes. You can run away from drugs, but you can't run away from what's inside. In fact, I heard somebody say one time that sexual desire and immorality is the most difficult of all the sins to deal with because, for example, if I was a crook and stood up here and told you a story about how I robbed a bank, you might think, well, that's an interesting story. But, you know, you can't imagine yourself robbing a bank. You know, it could sound exciting, but you're not tempted to rob a bank. That's not your thing. But the difference is that if somebody tells you stories about immorality, you can immediately place yourself in it. You don't have to say, oh, that's not interesting to me. It is. Or you can't say, I wouldn't like to do that. You would. So this is why this business of immorality is the most difficult one that we have to deal with. Because it's in us. And every time we even hear about it, we tend to imagine ourselves in that situation. That is a sin that rubs off from one person to the next. Now you say, well, it's perfectly natural. I mean, that's a human being. Let me tell you something. I want to talk to the girls, especially this morning. Excuse me using the word. See, they're telling girls these days, in fact, the advertising, the dress, the look on the face, they'll say, you know about that girl, she's really sexy. Now, you girls might feel that you need to be sexy because you might say, well, if I'm not sexy, the boys won't pay any attention to me. You might feel that you have to be this way. Let me tell you something, girls. The devil is trying to destroy girls more than any other area of society. He wants to do you in. And there is no section of society in this world that is more downtrodden than women. But you should know this, girls, and let me tell you to your face, that if you fall for the line that's going on outside, that you need to be sexy or whatever, you're going to ruin yourself more. And you fellas, you might say, well, that's the way we men are. Well, that's the way, you know, you're supposed to be. And I want to tell you, I've traveled all over the world, and I have noticed that man, when he gets debased, is worse than an animal. Do any of you have pets at home? Sure. Any of you have cats, for example? Do you know, you didn't have to teach your cat to wash his face. No, you can say, I'm going to take my cat to obedience school to wash his face. Did you have to take your cat to obedience school to climb trees? To scratch dogs? Go, to lap meow? No, you don't do that. They know. What do we call it? Instinct. Let me tell you this. You don't have to teach a cat to wash his face, and he will anyway. But if you don't teach a boy or a girl to wash their face, they won't. Did you know that? Everything we are, we're taught. We have the potential built into us to be sons of God. Yet we have built into us the same potential to be lower and baser than the worst animal on the face of the earth. You think of any other animals that go around killing and stealing from each other of the same kind? No, they don't. It's our race that has this incredible... So what I'm saying is this, that built into your heart is the ability to be a son of God or to be worse than any old bull in the field or any old dog in the street. It's in you. And the devil, of course, loves to see the sons and daughters of God who were made in his image worse than animals. And one of the ways that he strikes at that is to take that part of our lives that God put into us to bring us closer together, to bring us into union and harmony and the bliss of love, and to take it and turn it into something debasing and awful. And I don't need to tell you what's going on in the world around. I don't need... Now, what am I saying? You're saying against sex? I'm just telling you this, that it's just like... It's like gluttony. God's made the ability within me to eat. I need to eat to survive, but the person who lives to eat becomes a glutton and his life is ruined. And in the same way, God puts within your life and mine this ability, this capacity, this need to have fellowship, the male and the female, to have the love that comes from the marriage union, but that same beautiful something can consume your life and turn us into animals and debase us and run everything. And I don't need to tell you what's happening in the world today. In fact, some of the material that comes to me, some of the things that you read, are just, I don't even want to read it. I don't even want to hear about it. Because it can rub off on you. It can get into your head. Now, hey, you say, Pastor Phil, don't talk to me about this. You know, don't share your troubles with me. One of these days, though, you're going to, if you're not already, with having to make continual decisions. Are you going to be some old, excuse the expression, stud? Are you going to be some kind of sex pot? Are you going to be a child of God? Do you really believe that Jesus wants to make you happy and fill you with joy? Or you say, no, I'm going to have some fun. Oh, yes, people have fun, but lots of people who have fun end up dead. And Jesus said, I come that they might have life and that they might have it how? More abundantly. Hey, I want more life, not less life. I want happiness and joy. Now, so I'm going to talk to you about this. Hey, I'm not saying that the sexual aspects of our lives are wrong. They're just as real as the part that smiles, the part that talks, the part that creates. In fact, it is a creative part. But I'm saying this, that if this is not being dealt with correctly in your life, what will it do? It'll turn you ultimately, in the worst possible sense, into an animal. But at best, It'll ruin your marriage. It'll break up your home. And it'll drive you into alienation. At best. At worst, turn you into an animal. This must be dealt with. It must be kept in perspective, or we're finished. Are we all on the same wavelength? Are you mad at me yet? Are we so far so good? Let's take off now. On my little talk called How to Overcome Impure Thoughts. Because all of this impurity, where does it begin? Before anybody goes sleeping around, what's he done? He's thought about it. He's got it in his head first. See, this matter of being a Christian is not so much to say, hey, you know, you can't do that or you can't do this. Hey, the protection of the Christian life is how we think. Because the Bible says, as you think, that's what you become. Nobody just falls into sin like a hole in the ground. We slide. Are you with me on that? Okay. How are we going to overcome impure thoughts? In other words, how are we going to have this of our lives, the sexual part of our lives, the moral part of our lives, how are we going to have it the way God wants it to be? Happy, joyful, and meaningful, and special. Without this other thing that's going on. Well, one of it is this. Remember this, and I'm talking to the men here. Are any men here today? Absolutely. Young men maybe, but men nevertheless. Huh? Remember this. We're going to recognize that if we cannot play with impure thoughts. In other words, some people say, well, I wish I didn't think about those things so much. I want to think about them less. Oh, listen, this matter of impurity, of lust, has got to be dealt with. And we've got to do what Daniel did. In Daniel 1, verse 8, it said, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. In other words, he made up his mind. I'm going to be God's man. Did I say Daniel? I meant to. That's right. So Daniel decided he was going to be God's man. And so I want to say to you young men here today, fellas, hey, God wants you to be happy and to have joy in your life. Hey, don't forget that. But you can be happy and joyful and be pure. You say, if I'm going to be pure, does it mean I can't get married? No, I didn't say that. He wants you to be married, but to be happily married, to be pure and to be true and to be faithful to your wife. But he knows that if you follow this track that you're seeing on television and these magazines and these dirty jokes and the calendars and the way people talk, he knows that'll mess you up and poison your brain. So you decide in your head, like Daniel did, that you will not defile yourself. You've got to make up the decision. The second place thing that we need to do is in Psalms 51:2. David said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. As I mentioned to you before, all of this matter of impurity, where does it begin? In head. In other words, the trouble that we men have is with fantasies, with imagination. We begin to think and imagine lots of things. This gets us into big problems. The control of the body begins with the control of the mind. Sin always begins with a picture in the head. And so if we will recognize that if we're going to think sexual fantasies and impure fantasies, we're going to do it. Sooner or later we will. And therefore to control our lives and to bring purity, we bring purity into our heads. Job said in Job 31 verse 1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look on a maid? Fellas, have you ever heard men say, well, what's wrong with enjoying a little beauty? Have you ever heard that expression? What's wrong with enjoying? What's he really saying? Huh? He's saying, I like to look at these things so I can think about them. So Job, what did he do? He said, I made an agreement with my eyes that I was not going to look on these things that would cause me to have impure thoughts. And I've noticed myself, and now you say, well, maybe you've got problems, but have you ever gone down the highway and seen these big billboards, some of them? Hey, when I'm going down the highway and I see one of those big billboards coming up, you know what I do? I made an agreement with my eyes, Milton. I turn my head the other way. Why should I be bothered by that? Why should I have to fight with that? I got enough problems. But to have these people throw these things in my face. If I was coming along to you this morning throwing mud in your face, what would you do? She just did it. She went. She'd probably do this. Don't let these people throw things in your eyes, fellas. If somebody comes along to you and says, hey, look at this book I got. Say, get that out of my face. Somebody comes along, got some pictures. Say, you want to see some pictures? Say, get those out of my eyes. See, you've made an agreement with yourself. You know that if you look at that, now you say, are you saying, Pastor Ophiel, I can't look at that stuff? No, not at all. Did I say that? Did I say you can't do this stuff if you don't want to? No, I didn't say that. You do whatever you want. If you want to look at dirty calendars and watch these, what are these videos, and go ahead and do it. But don't be surprised if it ruins your life. Because that's what will happen. For you won't love your wife. And girls, you don't want a guy who thinks you're sexy. If that's what you want, you're just going to be used and thrown away. You don't want that. You want somebody that loves you for what you are, don't you? Hey, don't we really want to be cared for... I don't know, when you get to be as old as I am. Anybody in here 49? Are you 49? Not yet. You know, anybody in here 49? I don't see anybody in here 49. When you get to be 49, you get white hair. Notice? You think I was born this way? No, I wasn't born with white hair. I used to have real dark brown hair. You think I was born with all these wrinkles? No, I wasn't born with all these wrinkles. I was very early age. That's a joke. Anyway, what I'm saying is this, that the person who bases his life on how pretty he is or how he looks is going to be disappointed when he gets to be 49. It disappears. So what I'm saying is this, if we want happiness, we have to love each other, not for our bodies, because the body gets old and ugly. Did you know that? Did you think I was born looking like this? No, I was born very young. I'm only teasing you. Do any of you have grandmothers that are living? Grandmothers and grandfathers? Do you ever remember them as being young? Of course you don't. You weren't there when they were young. You think they were born old. See, we don't realize this. We as young people, when we get young, see, we're looking at the body. We say, isn't he got a beautiful body? We girls, we say, isn't he got a beautiful body? Oh, listen, don't fall in love with the body. Because the body's going to get old. It's going to get wrinkles. It's going to get gray hair. Fall in love with somebody and love somebody who really cares for you, no matter what. See, Jesus, he doesn't want us to have fun. Because people who have fun kill themselves. You know, do you ever hear the expression, I nearly died laughing. Jesus wants us to have joy, to have deeper and better and fuller life. He really does. Not just in heaven someday, but now. And you talk to people who seem to be having fun, you know, they told me one day that they did a little survey with the movie stars in Hollywood. And they asked these movie stars, they said, if you could change anything about yourself, what would you change? Now listen to this. A movie star. If you could change anything about yourself, what would you change? You know what they said? I'd change my looks. These people who we think are beautiful are so hung up, they think they're ugly. Isn't that incredible, some of them? This is what happens to a person who's focusing his life on the outside. This is why, girls, let me say this to you. Remember where it says in the Bible, let it not be the outward adorning. Remember that part? The putting on of gold and jewels and so forth. But let it be the inner person. You remember where it says that? Hey, you think God can't wear earrings and nose rings and toe rings and finger rings? No, you can if you want to. If you want people to love you because of the way you look outside, that's up to you. But Jesus is saying to you, honey, I want to love you for what you are. And if you want people to love you for what you are on the inside, then don't fix up so much on the outside and give them a bum steer. Are you with me on that? Let me go on to this other. Let's realize that the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual battle. That if we're going to overcome impure thoughts and if we're going to live pure lives in this world of evil, huh? We're going to have to pray about it. Hey, the only way, you know, some people say, I'll just grit my teeth. I'll just try not to. Oh, no, it won't rain. If you'll get down on your knees and you'll say, God, I want to be a pure person. I want to be the person that you want me to be because I know you want me to be happy.
Once again, here is Pastor Richard Ophiel.
Let's realize that the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual battle. That if we're going to overcome impure thoughts and if we're going to live pure lives in this world of evil, huh? We're going to have to pray about it. Hey, the only way, you know, some people say, I'll just grit my teeth. I'll just try not to. Oh, no, no, it won't rain. If you'll get down on your knees and you'll say, God, I want to be a pure person. I want to be the person that you want me to be because I know you want me to be happy. Hey, He really will help us. Now, if we're going to be serious about this matter of purity, we have to watch out not only what comes into our eyes, but what comes into our ears. Now, I'm not going to give you a speech on music, rock music. I don't have to, do I? You know what that's about. See, rock music makes you feel how? Unreal. Unreal, right? It gets you away from reality, right? Hey, if you're having a fight with your parents, the last thing you need to do is get away. Because you're going to have to come back to them. See, in other words, if you just had a fight with your mother, you say, I got to get away from you. You can't get away from mama. Or you can go listen to rock music and feel, I feel so much better. No, but mother's still there. You're going to have to get away. In other words, we've got problems, we young people, with our parents, don't we? So you can't get away from your parents. You can go to California and leave them here, but they're in your head. So we've got to make peace with our parents. You can say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a God. Oh, really? He's still there. I don't believe there's a soul. Korea. Really? It's there nevertheless. So we do all kinds of mind games. And all I'm saying is simply this, that we need to face reality. They just came in late. I'll start at the beginning. And so, we welcome you here today, and we don't have time for that, do we? Anyway, where was I? I was saying this, that we need to watch, be careful of our eyes and be careful of our ears. Now, I want to underline this for you young people. I'm not saying that you can't look at dirty magazines. If you want to, do. Just know it'll mess up your life. I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to this music and all. That's enough. Do, but know it isn't going to help you to be happy. It's not going to solve your problem with your parents. Are you with me on this? We need to be really careful. I was in the airport down here at the National Airport, and I was walking along. Where was it? To what airline? I don't remember where it was, but it's that part of the airport where it's kind of like a tube. You walk down this little tube, and there's a kiosk cut out in there where they sell magazines and so forth. And as I was walking along carrying my suitcase, there was a guy in that magazine shop, and he was reading a dirty magazine, apparently. And he had it open. He was standing right there by the thing. He had it open, and it was like an 8.5 by 11 full-color, dirtiest picture I ever saw. Now, I didn't buy that magazine. I didn't even pick it up, but I saw it. Now, I resent that. If somebody spits in my face, I resent that. You follow me? Somebody puts got bad breath. You know, I wish they didn't. So what I'm saying is this: that the devil marks everything you see. Do you know that? He remembers everything you've ever seen and everything you've ever heard. And so do you. You just forgot. So what he does this. You see, you might say, "Oh, I'll just do this today, and tomorrow I'm going to change my mind." Well, tomorrow when you change your mind and decide you want to be a good guy, he'll haunt you with that stuff. You'll be sitting in church. You know, for example, on Tuesday of this week, you could have somebody told you a dirty joke. And on Wednesday, you said, I want to get away from that kind of stuff. That's messing up my brain. That's not what Jesus wants me to do. That's not making me happy. So you say, dear Jesus, please forgive me for that. I want to be your son and your daughter. And he forgives you. He's glad to forgive you for anything you're sorry for. And what happens? You come to church on Sabbath, and the devil starts telling you that same dirty joke. Are you with me on that? In other words, what I'm saying is this. Hey, let's start fighting back. Let's start fighting back. He hates us. He's trying to ruin our lives. If you thought that there was anybody in this room this morning that hated you and was trying to ruin your life, you wouldn't be very comfortable here, would you? But there is somebody here that hates you and tries to ruin your life, the enemy of our soul. And I think it's time that we Adventist young people, men and women, grandpas and grandpas, grandmas, we start fighting back. The devil's trying to do you in. It's time that you said, I'm not going to let him do that to me. Because I want to be happy here. I want to have a joyful life. And I'm going to heaven. Are you with me on that? Now, I'm not saying you can't do what you want. Do what you want. But know that if you do, you're going to get certain things. Are you with me on that? You're not mad at me for talking to you this way, are you? Somebody just looked at his watch. Okay. Let us... Here's a couple of other points, but these would take at least 4 hours to go over these. I'm just teasing. Let's see. Oh, listen. Yeah, here's the one. There's a text in Scripture that says, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? This is in Romans 6. Now, I use this text in Romans 6 to overcome any temptation. Because even though you decide that you're going to be God's person, God's man or woman, young person, the devil is still going to tempt the, well, I don't even want to say tempt the dickens out of you, but, you know, that's a crazy way. But he does. He would just make your life miserable with temptation. So just because we decide that we're going to be God's people doesn't mean he's not going to be bothering us. But let me tell you today how you can overcome any temptation, not only the temptation for impure thoughts, but any temptation. If you have a bad temper, you're not getting along with your parents. Any of you have that trouble? You're having art? I don't know. Maybe you don't. But anyway, here's the way you handle that. Paul said, how can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Remember that now. You say, well, that's, what does that mean? It means this. That the next time the devil... Well, let me not use the illustration of impure thoughts. Let's say you have a temper. Anybody here have a temper? Or anybody here say bad words they wish they didn't? Anything like that. Put yourself into it. You know that when you're tempted to do that, here's what you do next time. The next time you have a temptation, for example, to lose your temper, you say a little prayer that goes this way. You say, how can I, who am dead to temper, live any longer therein? Now, you say, that's corny. What does that mean? What do you mean by that? Well, it's this. Do dead people lose their temper? Do they? No, dead people don't lose their temper. And for example, if you had a, excuse me for saying this, if you had a casket here with a dead person in it, and you marched a person here in a bikini in front of the casket, would the guy in the casket do anything? Are you with me? You get what I'm saying? Would the guy in the casket do anything? No, he's dead. So this is what the Scripture means when it says, reckon yourself, therefore, to be dead to sin, but to live to Christ. So today, if you have problem with impure thoughts, if you've got problem with getting mad at people, if you've got whatever your problem is, when you get that temptation, you just say a little prayer and say, how can I do that, Jesus? I'm dead to that. And it goes away. Are you with me on that? Would you experiment with that? It really works. Young people, today I want to say this. We are sons and daughters of God. We are, right today. Not someday, but right today. And as sons and daughters of God, we've got certain privileges. We don't have to let the devil walk all over us. Now, if you want him to, you know, you can let him do that, but you don't have to. You don't have to have your mind filled with all this filth. You don't have to have all, you know, these temptations. You can be an overcomer and you can be happy and joyful in your life. Now, you won't be having as much as the others, but you'll be happy. And you told me when we started off that you'd rather be happy than have fun. Because so many of these people that are having fun are killing themselves. You know, may I throw out a contrasting word? Peer pressure, there's nothing wrong with peer pressure. That's like sitting, there's air all around us, isn't there? We breathe it, we take, see. The fact that we all live together is normal. See, probably I wouldn't have put on deodorant this morning except for peer pressure. You'd say, yuck. So peer pressure makes me put on deodorant. Nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you what the sickness is. I'm going to use the word sickness, and that's peer dependency. Is that too heavy a word for you? When you have peer dependency, it means that you're not making the decisions for your own life. Somebody else is. You see the difference? Peer pressure, nothing wrong with that. You have to have it. The fact that you're dressed this morning is peer pressure. But when people make you dress a certain way, and you feel like if you don't dress that way, something's wrong, there you're in trouble. That's peer dependency. Do you see the difference? In one way, see, this is the crazy thing about young people. Young people say, I want to be in charge of my own life. I don't want my parents telling me what to do. I'm going to let him tell me what to do. That's crazy. So what they do is just switch from one to another.
Yeah, as you look at the statistics, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, high school, you know, public high school.
Yeah.
Majority of the kids are involved in, you know, pre-med.
This is correct. Like that's
that,
right.
You know.
See, this business of immorality, remember what I said this morning, it's in us. It's in us. It's just like the dope addict. The dope addict, it feels good, doesn't it? Isn't that why he does it? So, you know, like somebody told me one day, somebody said, never tell somebody that beer tastes bad. Person says, on a hot day, nothing I like better than a cold glass of beer. So we make the mistake of telling our kids that sin doesn't feel good. No, sin feels good. Remember, that's what I said. Hey, having fun feels good. But you admitted, you're the one that told me that having fun doesn't bring happiness. So you and I are having to make choices, huh? As to whether we're going to feel good or be. And they're not the same. You know that. Hey, you know, you can have your marriage ruined here and you're only 16 years old. And you're doing stuff right now that's messing up your marriage. You're not even married yet. Right now you're doing stuff that's going to ruin your children. Is that what we want? Isn't that crazy? But hey, I'm not telling you this to make you feel guilty. Hey, I'm saying don't feel guilty. Let's break out of it. If I'm stepping... Yeah, let's watch this, for example. Come on up here. Now watch this. Now, you can't see what I'm about to do. I'm going to step on his toes. See? I'm going to... So what's he going to do? Is he going to stand there and let me do it? No, he's doing it to be polite with me. Sooner or later, he goes... And then if I follow him, he starts doing like this. But you see what we do? We're letting people step all over us. We're letting them crush our lives, mess up our business, and we're just going, feels good. That's dumb. That's dumb. But let me tell you this. Remember what I said a moment ago? You and I can't fight it. We're worse than animals. Because it feels good. Well, we'll actually... kill ourselves. We commit suicide. A cat won't do it. A dog won't do it. We will. That's why when I gave you the text a minute ago that says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, what's that mean? It means that, hey, you can't handle yourself. I can't handle myself. You get a bad temper, you can't control it. You can bite your tongue, but it'll bleed. So the only way that we can bring peace and happiness into our life is with the power of God. It's only through Jesus in our heart. Now that may sound corny and dumb to you, but that happens to be the way it is. We were born in a wreck. We were diseased that if it goes and takes course of us, we do ourselves in.
Okay, I do have one more question that some of our youth have a couple of times. And when they're in dating, in high school, in college, whatever, and... sometimes they ask a question, how far they can go. You know, they start with holding hands and kissing, and you know, how far they can go before getting married. And it seems for them it's hard for them to stop it. You know, because closer and closer, you know, they do have a desire that they want to share each other, and so they do have a pressure in there, and.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say something terrible. This is awful. This is terrible. Hey, we're after sex. We say we love them for one reason. So we can get sex. Don't forget, that's the way we are. We're all hormones. You girls, you will let men so have this intimacy because you want to be loved. And if you feel that this is the price that you must pay to be loved, you'll pay the full price.
So what you're saying is...
So what I'm saying is this, that we both get cheated. That what we men need to do is to learn to love. And we don't learn to love the sex. And I'm saying to the girls that if you want a man really to love you, you cannot do that. You're messing. Now, having said that, I want to say, do whatever you want. But just know that this is true. Fellas, you know that when you do this, you're not loving her. This is all hormones. We're studs. And girls, he doesn't really love you if he does this to you. And if you want him to, you won't let him. But if you want him to, go ahead. But don't be confused. In other words, what I'm saying, don't be blind. Know that if you do it, don't come up to me and say it's this and it's that. Hey, I'm not stupid. Don't be stupid. I mean, let's admit it, fellas. Let's admit what we are. Hey, let's be honest so we can at least save ourselves. But we're liars. Not only are we studs, but we're liars. And this is why this thing with Jesus is going to be the only thing that saves any of us. This is why it had to be Daniel purposing in his heart and saying, oh God, this is why Joseph, hey, he runs. He says, let me out of here. I can't handle this. Hey, you know, I was in a ministerial class one time, and we young ministers were talking together, and they said, what would happen if a woman started making movements towards you? And one of the young ministers said, well, you should pray with her. Another minister said, don't pray with her. Get out of there. Oh, no, you don't pray with that kind of stuff. Hey, you know, if you've got a girlfriend or boyfriend and you've got this temptation, hey, don't pray. Get out of there. Pray alone. Don't pray together. Pray alone. Are you with me on that? I'm just saying, hey, we're getting messed up really bad. Hey, now you can go ahead and have sex till you get AIDS. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say. You can do that all you want. All you want. But know this, that finally a happy marriage is what you want. But you've got to get ready for that now. And that's not the way you get ready for it. And one out of two marriages is going bad. That's the kind of stuff you and I want. How can we say that? I'm going to be like saying, I know when I stick my hand in this saw, it's going to cut it off, but here goes nothing. See, that's crazy. But we're doing it, and it's dumb. It's suicidal. And the devil must be just laughing his head off. And here we are, God's kids, God's men and women.
Amen.
And it isn't like we're in a trap. It's just that we stuck our head in the lion's mouth. It's time for God's children, for God's men, and for God's women to fight back, for us to claim the power that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives to make us overcomers. That's the name of the game these days. Overcoming. Anybody can get mowed down by a truck. You know, my grandson's 4 years old. He can drive a car off a cliff. That doesn't take any brain. But to keep the car on the road, that does. Jesus says, I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundant. Remember what I said when I started off. This problem of immorality is one of the worst of all because it's in us. It's in us and it's all around us. And if we let ourselves be affected, it will do us in. I'm not saying it may or it could, it will. It's up to you to make the choice. Just like Daniel, won't you today purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself. That we will, as God's men and women, as His sons and daughters, be pure and true to Him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Here goes. It's a hard one. How many of you who are here today would raise your hand? Don't raise it if you don't mean it. But if you mean it, raise it. And you want to say, Pastor Ophiel, in my heart, I do want to be true to God, and I want to be pure in my life. If you mean it, raise your hand. Keep it up. May God bless each of you, is my prayer in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available.
If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.